at you with more flight attendant coverage here on Post Show Recaps. I'm Jess Sterling here, helping you all fly your way through Season 2, Episode 4, Blue Sincerely Reunion. And of course, I'm never alone. I need a co-pilot in this plane with me, helping me navigate the skies. Or I should say, we're in a helicopter this week. Sarah Ferguson, how are you on helicopters?
I've never been, and I don't think I would be on a helicopter. But I did want to say that you accidentally contacted me incorrectly. I am actually just the correspondent at the. You had to contact the Queen Strip Club on Long Island.
Oh, not, I'm sorry. Not myself. The Queen of Jersey, not the Queen of Jersey. Right. No, but yeah. I see.
So you got a little confused, but it's okay.
And we're not alone here today. We needed to bring in someone who was an expert on the black market trade of bluefin. So obviously that's neither of us. So welcoming on to the podcast, Marissa. Marissa, how are you?
I'm like the Carmen Sandiego of PSR. Like I'm just like going, traveling from podcast to podcast, talking about crime. No, I'm good. I'm happy to be in the jump seat with this podcast this week. Thank you for holding it open for me. I can't wait to talk about everything and everything that happened. Like so many things. It happened, everything and everything.
So much. How are you liking this season so far in comparison with season one?
So I definitely like it's kind of like once you know the gimmick, you know the you know what I mean? Like it's like, okay, yeah. All right, we're in it, we're here. So it's not as like, whoa, as the first season was, because the first season was like, oh, you're doing something different, something creative, yes. I think it's definitely, you know, interesting to go more inward in terms of Cassie's journey and her talking to herself instead of her talking to some random dead guy in her head. Also very nice. But I'm intrigued by, you know, where they're going and what they're trying to cover. And I know last episode you both were questioning, like, will the two storylines be tied together? Mm-hmm. That's really good. I have, like, somewhere there's a Marissa that became a flight attendant. So, like, there's part of me that is, like, living vicariously, not through, like, the whole crime part. Regardless of what you may hear on other podcasts, specifically co-hosted by Ariel, I am not a criminal. And so... I would just like to say that for the record, but the traveling part gets me all the time. So I live kind of vicariously through that part of the show for sure.
Yeah, I think this episode, especially Sarah, especially the shots where they were getting on the helicopter. Oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous.
Yeah. Like, so they were at the Black Sand Beaches, which I believe is south of Reykjavik. As I spoke on the last podcast, I've been to Iceland and I went to the Black Sand Beaches and it's as gorgeous as you would think it is. I also went to a spa-like place. This place was called the Sky Lagoon. I went to the famous Blue Lagoon, which when you think of Iceland and you see those pictures, you see a lot of the Blue Lagoon. It was amazing. You get mud masks and you sit in the springs. It's a dream. And I had a massage in the water and it was one of my
favorites. The water? How do they do that?
You're on a floating mat and you float and you get a massage in the water. It was sublime.
Was it the best massage you've ever had? Because it honestly sounds like it would
one of. I had a and I don't even travel, but I'm talking about all this travel. I've traveled like 3 times in my life, and this
it sounds very impressive when you say it.
No. I've traveled like twice in my life, but I had a massage on a beach in Mexico, and that with the ocean sounds was my favorite massage. I promise you that's the only massages I had in exotic places. I'm not much of a traveler. I'm not a Cassie. I don't have any jump flights, but it was sublime. So Iceland, once again, I can advocate. It's definitely a place you can go, that you should go. It is expensive. Not expensive to fly there and not expensive to lodge there, but everything else is pretty expensive.
Yes.
I have never been to Iceland, but I do want to just share my knowledge of Iceland was from this season's Bachelor. And I just have to say, first of all, it was the first season I ever watched. Second of all, I mean, romantically, things did not go well in Iceland for these people. Not saying you can go to Iceland, and I would love to experience what you did, Sarah, but I'm just also saying they went to this exact spot in The Bachelor, so I was like, oh no, oh boy, things are happening. PTSD happening. But yeah, so that's been my exposure, but I know it's like definitely a place on my list of places to go.
It's, I mean, after this show, it's certainly moved up on my list. It's so gorgeous. Like, I don't know. I want to experience everything they experienced there. It just looks beautiful. But in other huge news, Miranda is back. And I think, Sarah, like, you and I kind of assumed she'd come back for season two, but we weren't, like, I wasn't spoiled. I had no idea if she was coming back or not. And they did a great job, I think, at hiding her from the coming attractions and all of the, like, previews for the episodes, because the moment she shows up behind that guy and she's just holding a bloody knife and she's like, hey, I almost screamed out loud. I was so thrilled to see Miranda back, Sarah.
Yeah, I think that she came back sooner than they anticipated, but the show has been really on the go moving. We haven't been dragging out storylines. We haven't had big questions that are dragging on. And our big surprise is, like, when are we going to figure out what Megan is up to exactly? Mm-hmm. And when is Miranda coming back, get resolved within the first four episodes? We are halfway through the second season as of now, which is pretty crazy, but we don't have time to really, you know, drag our feet this season. Mm-hmm.
But Marissa, this is what I like about a short season, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't feel like we waste time, because mm-hmm. they know we have 8 episodes. We need to cram as much as we can, especially with an action-y type of thriller, mystery type of situation like this, or like a heist, you know, people are on the lam type of situation. Like, we need to move. And I really, really like that about this show. It doesn't waste time, especially feels like it's moving. There are a lot of moving parts in this season. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been pretty satisfying how quickly things are getting resolved.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, to think of shows that have lots of things to cover, right? Severance is another one that comes to mind in terms of, like, a bunch of stuff happening. And I think with that one, they gave us a little bit more time because it was the week-to-week model. You had a little bit of time to kind of, like, go down rabbit holes in your brain. And sometimes, you know, you still want that, but you don't want to do all that work with your brain. Like, my brain just does that now. Like, it's just trained to go do that. So it's really refreshing to watch the show and kind of get that experience without having my brain go in 800 different places as to where things could go, how they could go. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. What does this one little thing mean? I don't know. Well, they're going to tell me, like, in the next episode, like the emoji message that we got, like that I think was a great example of how the show's handling things like that, where other shows might kind of stretch it out a little bit. I think there's room for both in your viewing experiences, but sometimes it's just nice to have a show that can kind of, like, entertain my brain without working it too hard.
Mm-hmm. And I do like that this show, for example, like, the release order is a bit strange, or the release, the model that they have, right? Where we had 2 episodes last week, 2 episodes this week. But I do kind of like the coupling of the last episode and this episode. Obviously, we took a day in between our watches just for podcast coverage, but I like that if you wanted to, you could watch these 2 episodes back to back and get, like, the emoji string situation resolved in those 2 episodes. And also, we find out that Cassie read it incorrectly, which was even, like, very funny. Meg or Sarah, you had said that you thought maybe that was the situation and you were right, like, that it ended up being incorrect. So let's, without further ado, let's dive into this episode. We have so much to get through here. If you're already not subscribed, you can do so. postshowrecaps.com/flightattendantpod. We greatly appreciate anybody that does that. Of course, you can also find us in the HBO feed as well. So we start off at Megan's bar. She has to close the bar early. And she says, like, Cassie, you being here is not good. And Cassie's like, you're the one who told me to come here. But Megan says, absolutely not. It's very sweet that you think I'm the queen of Long Island. But I was telling you to go bring the key to our friend named Cherry, who works at the Queen Strip Club on Long Island. I mean, Marissa, to be fair, easily misconstrued in an emoji form.
I mean, I love emojis. I use them quite often, but there's 800 mm-hmm. different ways to interpret them. And it's just, I think it also shows maybe, like, they are friends, right? Like, I think all last season we questioned how close of a friendship they actually have. In the episodes up to this one, we kind of got to see a little bit more in their friendship, but they weren't close enough where she knew exactly what she was saying. You know, like, yes. It gives us that information about the status of their friendship.
Mm-hmm. And apparently Cherry has a lockbox that you need the key for, where Megan has stashed evidence against the North Koreans. And so she wanted to be able to use it to make some sort of deal. So obviously Cassie bringing the key to Megan is not going to be very helpful to Megan. And in fact, I could see why Megan is so upset, because if she knows Shane at all, she's like, oh, Shane's probably following Cassie, who now led her straight, you know, led Shane straight to me. So she's upset. And interestingly enough, we see the woman who was dancing with Megan, Sarah, and we find out her name is Charlie. And we thought, I don't know, there was a weird vibe when Charlie came into the apartment when Megan was grinding up the poisonous mushrooms. Yeah. And we thought maybe she was being like held hostage by Charlie or something. But that turned out not to be the case.
No, it wasn't the case. I do feel as though Charlie could have had some sort of romantic feelings for Megan, but I think that Megan was using Charlie for a sanctuary space to make sure that she kept safe. So I think that it was kind of, she wasn't physically there held hostage. However, she kind of had to act out of, not character, but you know, she didn't have feelings for her, but she had to, you know, be a companion to Charlie and dance kind of romantically with her.
Yeah, it almost, Marissa, what is your take on this? Because it did kind of feel like the dancing was like very intimate, but it feels like obviously Megan felt gracious, you know, like, you know, she was thankful for all the things Charlie was doing for her, but it almost felt very like offside, like lopsided, like Charlie had feelings for Megan, but Megan was like not as much into it.
100%. Yeah, I definitely think, especially we see in the goodbye, just how much Charlie cares about Megan. I think Megan is lonely. I think Megan is looking for, you know, Sarah, to your point, looking for a sanctuary. She's on the run on her own, and in a pretty scary situation. And this was someone that she could trust, someone that knew, you know, the area, knew how to apparently also use poison mushrooms, which is, you know, an asset, I guess, to have.
Why not? Yeah.
For me, also, one of the things about this relationship is that Charlie's played by Margaret Cho. And Margaret Cho, like, growing up was, like, such a really big influence on me. My dad watched a lot of stand-up comedy, and there were hardly any female representation in that. Mm-hmm. And so to see Margaret Cho and Rosie Perez, like, just hanging out together, I was cheering so hard. I was like, you go, ladies. You do this. Like,
this episode is especially is very fun when you have the four of them all together. It's kind of like, wow, this is a really strong girl gang.
It's
like,
really, they're cool, ready to rock it. But I kind of felt like it took me out of the episode a little bit.
I could see that.
It's awesome seeing four strong actors, but I felt as though this became kind of like a buddy comedy or something like that. It just felt different. Like, it kind of took me out of the same feeling as the first three episodes were.
Interesting. I can kind of see that. But I also think just bringing Miranda into the show, I think you're gonna have more of a comedy angle. That's how she was in season one. She kind of lightened the mood a lot. And so it didn't really bother me, because when Miranda was there anyway, I kind of expected it. So I guess I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't not expecting that to be how those scenes would play out, but I could totally get that. And so, right, so we find out Charlie runs bluefin tuna fishing boats off Nova Scotia, and she sells them on the black market, which is such a funny, like, illegal thing to do. I don't know. I found it very funny.
There's like lots of black market happening. Like, we've got black market plane trips. We've got black market fish.
Yeah. I feel like that's what I would just be into, like, some sort of really ridiculous black market scheme. Stolen West Elm vases. Like, just sell them on the black market. It's like, hi, I'm the pottery p-
pottery princess. I'm going to sell you some pottery.
You already have a name picked out.
Yeah, I guess like I've been thinking about this for some time.
I guess so.
Yeah, the PP. No, you know what? That doesn't work.
I don't think that works for you. Nope, not at all. And so Megan's been keeping, Charlie has been keeping Megan safe. Megan says they just dance. And I love Cassie saying, oh, is that what they're calling it these days? And we find out the bounty on Megan's head is for $500,000.
It's not even that much money. I wish I was. I wouldn't be worth more than $500,000. I wouldn't be worth like $5 billion.
$500,000 is a lot.
No, it's not. You're only to kill. I would not kill somebody for $500,000. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't kill somebody for any amount of dollars.
I'm just saying $500,000 is just not that, well, that much. Well, now we know
who the murderer is on the podcast.
Not me.
And so Megan says, oh, I'm a prize. And she smiles. Who would have thought? Me? A prize. And I love them like joking in the moment where they're discussing the fact that someone has a bounty on Megan's head. Like Cassie's just like, oh, top shelf shit right there. Like top shelf.
Well, I think that goes back to, you know, why she hung around with Charlie so much. Like, I don't know if she felt like a prize in other places in her life. And so like feeling like having the bounty, feeling like that from Charlie, like I think it's just all part of, you know, the show does explore addiction. And I, you know, we haven't necessarily seen, we've seen that Megan goes out and parties. We've seen these things, but we haven't really explored addiction in her life. And I'm not saying that she is addicted, but it's a high, like a high intensity situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we know in season one, Megan has always talked about the fact that she was invisible and nobody noticed her. And so I'm sure that having not only Charlie pay a lot of attention to her, but also the fact that she has a bounty on her head and someone wants her, not in a good way, but there's a lot of attention on her right now. And so Cassie is back to the Mind Palace. Chaos Cassie calls Megan a sparkly fugitive pirate lady. And then we see Team Cassie is building, it's not Legos. I thought it was Legos at first. It's kind of like just like blocks of the, oh gosh, Hallgrim Skurja. It's a Lutheran church in Iceland.
Great.
Oh, I've been there. Okay. I'm so sorry to anybody I'm offending with my pronunciation. I'm doing my best. I promise. It's a church. It's a Lutheran church in Iceland. And it is, I mean, gorgeous, right? It's beautiful. So she's working on this tower. Teen Cassie says, oh, well, it's easier to play hero than focus on your own stuff. And Chaos Cassie is just, she's just saying March 21st and then March 23rd. And I don't know. What's that about, Sarah?
Oh, I think that we are getting a little lie from Cassie. I don't think our friend Cassie has been sober for a year. I think that these represent slip ups.
Interesting. I had not thought about that.
I'm sad about it, but I've had a feeling there is a line that Cassie said in one of the previous episodes where, like, you know, keep telling yourself that or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though we have our unreliable narrator telling us that she's been sober for a year, but has been denying. I think that there's been some instances.
Yeah.
That's just a speculation of mine.
Interesting. I like it. I think it's like a fascinating idea that maybe she has slipped up before and we haven't seen it. And I think it would make sense in a story about addiction, that if they're going to have a off the wagon type of situation or storyline, it would make sense to me if it was in the past rather than in her future, like something we haven't seen yet, Marissa. Do you know what I mean? So we don't have to necessarily feel as hurt by it if it's something we know she's moved past.
Yeah, I think, you know, we do see Cassie questioning a lot in the previous episode and with her actions at the end of this episode in terms of her relationship with her addiction. And, you know, there's a lot of conversations around alcohol addiction and sex addiction and all of that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So framing the way that you frame this up, Sarah, does have me questioning, you know, what happened in between. So if she said to herself, you know, March 21st is my day, and then something happened and she had to recommit to being sober, what was the event in between those days? Now, I just came from podcasting a show about time travel and all of this stuff. So this entire time, I'm like, what and where are we? Like, it took me a while. I didn't catch that because I was like trying to make more of it than it actually was. Mm-hmm. Or it might not be anything, but I think, Sarah, you might be onto something here. Mm-hmm. And I am curious to, you know, to your point, also just, you know, what happened in the past that would do that. I do think we will see another slip up by the end of this series, and, you know, having her to like recommit to sobriety again.
Mm-hmm. And then Charlie pours them shots, but Cassie's like, oh, I'm not drinking. And Megan thinks she's just like playing at being sober. She doesn't actually believe Cassie is sober. And she tells Megan, oh, no, I've been sober for a whole year. And so they have their plan and they're ready to stop Hawk for good. And so the plan is they're going to K-I-L-L him, which just love the spelling of it out. It's so funny to me. It's like, she's like, it's not any less intense when you spell it, like you still saying kill. But their plan is they're gonna poison his drink with these ground up mushrooms, and he's here right now. He just got here. So then we see Megan and Cassie hiding, and we've seen her in this position before where she's hiding kind of in like this back room. And Charlie makes the drink for him. She puts the poison in it. He goes to drink and Cassie's phone rings. And I was like, girl, you have not learned to put this on vibrate yet or silence your phone. You're like undercover. What are you doing, Sarah? What is she doing?
I really don't know. I don't know what the hold the song has on Cassie, but she's addicted to it. I need her to get rid of that ringtone. I really, really need her to.
I wonder if it has something to do with her dad or something like that, like something back then.
Maybe.
I am here to defend people who use ringtones still. I still have ringtones on my phone.
Okay. What do you mean?
But here's the thing. I currently have my phone on silent because I know I'm on a podcast. So,
because this is an important thing.
There is,
no one's lives are even at stake in this situation.
Agreed. Yeah. Like, I know when to appropriately have a ringtone and when not to have a ringtone. But sometimes I just want Animal Crossing to be playing and I know that my phone is ringing. That's what is happening.
Yeah, it's just like, this is not the time, Cassie.
Yeah,
and so Hawk hears it. He gets up and he moves towards the back. And we're like, oh, like, I didn't expect the episode to get this intense this quickly. And so he has a gun on Megan and Cassie. And then the reveal of the century, Sarah, Miranda stabs him in the back with this knife. And then she's there. She's here. She's amazing. We love her. And Megan just like hugs her immediately. It's so good. Were you not so happy to see Miranda, Sarah? Tell me you were so happy to see her.
I guess. I guess I was happy. I don't know. Like, I wasn't like jumping up and down to see Miranda.
She was like one of my favorite parts of season one. I just think she's so funny.
I mean, to be honest with you, as much as like I like Miranda, I don't know if she is one of my favorite parts of the show. Because I think I like a lot of the other components of it more. But it's nice seeing a familiar face. It made more sense because last episode, and I don't even know if we brought this up, we saw Cassie WhatsApp somebody help. And
we did forget to mention it.
Yeah, we didn't touch on that. And it turns out it was Miranda. And then when I saw that, it made more sense. But at first I was like, what? Like, is Miranda like following her still? I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me if she was.
Yeah, probably. But I thought that was pretty cool. It was pretty cool seeing her again. And she really saved their butts in the situation.
She did. So she says she got bored being – so now she's the boss since she killed Victor. And she got bored being the boss. She likes the chase. And so immediately she is like on the ball. It's a good thing she was here because she can clean up messes. She's like, okay, pat him down. His phone's ringing. She just stomps on it. She's like, get his ID. Let's get out of here. So we see her call Cecilia, who is obviously Kaylee Cuoco's in real life sister. And she's just like, listen, we just killed a North Korean spy. We're not exiting out the front anymore. We're going out the back. And then we see Cecilia is pregnant. And she just like seems like a bit like of a disgruntled worker, Marissa. Like she's just like not happy working for Miranda.
Yeah, she's like, this is not fun. First of all, why would it be fun? Like, like I don't know. I mean, I guess you can jet set all over the world and all of that kind of stuff. But like Miranda's line of business wouldn't be considered fun for me. Nor would sitting in a car while I'm pregnant. But yeah, she's definitely playing the like disgruntled employee. I also have like a lot of questions about her. Like, what was her role? Was she like the person to be like picking them up and then they end up going out the back, but then they're in the bus? Like, how did the bus get here? Was she driving the bus? Like, I was very confused about like what her actual role
I think that was. They were so much so in a grind that they just had to get on the bus.
They're being shot at.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. And that's then on top point. Of that, Cecilia kind of screwed them over and sold them out.
Right. So they get out, the guns are shooting at them. They hop on this bus. And of course, you have to mention that Miranda gets shot in the same leg again. Yeah. So they run off onto this bus. Meanwhile, Gabrielle is standing over Annie as she wakes up. And she's like, we almost had her at LAX and then she disappeared. Gabrielle and Esteban are just like going all through Cassie's place. Then Annie is like, thinks that Gabrielle is Cassie because she wakes up just seeing like this blonde hair in front of her face. But then she recognizes them obviously as the next door neighbors. And Max learned how to cut zip ties with shoelaces on YouTube. I mean, We all know YouTube is amazing, but this really sealed the deal for me, Marissa. Like, I need to learn how to do this.
Between YouTube and TikTok, I think you could like do anything. Like, mm-hmm. I really think we can save the world or save ourselves from the world. Either way, I think it works that way. I've seen so many zip tie videos, like, but I don't know if I would have the wherewithal that Max does to remember them in the moment.
True. Yeah. And he says, slipping off zip ties isn't as easy as slipping off a ring.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get a little back and forth, some sour remarks between these two.
But I was happy. I mean, I'm hoping that this is kind of the ending of like their troubles, or at least maybe after this type of traumatic event, they'll kind of bond more.
I hope so.
And, yeah. Because like, that'd I'm happy really if that's nice. All we got of it was one episode. Like, I don't need an entire season of Max definitely fighting. Not. And so Esteban comes over, he punches Max and he asks where Cassie is. And he says, oh, she's on a flight. And he's like, we checked the manifest. She isn't listed anywhere. Would you like to be bruised up for your wedding pictures? And Gabrielle's like, listen, we have tools for that. Don't hurt your hands. It's just like, oh no, you have tools. It's not good. Like,
you're right, babe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
So then Miranda, who's shot in the leg again, they all get on the bus together. Megan is having a hot flash and we find out she's going through menopause. And Cassie's phone rings again. And I love Miranda here being like, really? Like again? Like just put it on silent. And it's freaking Jenny. And like, again, I got to ask Marissa, how far up is your sus meter on Jenny?
Super high. Thank you. First of all, like at first I was like, oh, fun, a friend. But then I'm like, no. Because first of all, as you've already pointed out on this podcast, it's Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't publicize all of that stuff no matter what. And you're really careful with your friendships in that group, like from what I know. It's part of the code. But she's like incessantly she's calling all the time and as a podcast person, this is not how you treat a guest. This is not how you like go ahead and get somebody on the phone.
I'm so sorry for the 30 phone calls that I called. I thought that that's what you did.
Oh my gosh.
I'll let it slide this time, but next time.
Next time you're done.
I'll call Miranda.
Yeah, so Cassie's like, I'm not doing a podcast. Like, stop calling me. This isn't okay. She hangs up. And Megan's like, listen, if anybody ever asks you to do a podcast about this, you have to say no. Cassie's like, no one's going to ask me about that. No one should find out about this. Yeah, and so Gabrielle and Esteban are going through all Cassie's stuff. And we find out that, they talk about a bounty. And we think it's on Cassie, but it turns out like they might be looking for Megan too. And they have all these knives and torture devices. And Gabrielle comes over and she's like, listen, we don't care about you. We just care about the money. Okay. Here's my taser. You could turn it way down and it won't like incapacitate you, but it'll just really, really hurt. And this was like, I mean, I don't know. I was more scared of Gabrielle than I was of Esteban Sarah. Yeah. Like Gabrielle looks serious about all this.
Gabrielle has crazy eyes. So yeah, I would be afraid of her too. She looks like she would tase the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so poor Annie, she's like having a meltdown. She's like, oh, I love Max. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm just really bad at feelings. I'm not okay about everything right now. Work, moving, us. And then she starts going on and on. She's like, I lied. I did fraud. I worked for the mob. And Gabrielle's like, wait a minute. You worked for the mob? And of course I think it's like, I love Annie. And I feel like they almost changed her a little bit, Marissa, from season one to season two to kind of like, I don't want to say dumb her down because she's very intelligent. I think it's more that they've made her into a horrifying liar. Like, she is not a good liar this season.
And I don't appreciate the fact that it's done in an emotional context. Like, that's my one critique, you know, of Annie's character in the show is, like, she knows her stuff. She got out of a lot of, you know, really hard situations last season. Mm-hmm. And now that we've got the, I don't know where my life is going, I don't know what I'm doing with Max. Like, apparently I'm marrying Max. Like, yeah, those are big things, but she could also still, like, have a way out. You know, mm-hmm. like, she could still also have that kernel of Annie that we know is there.
Yeah. Yeah, they've changed her a little bit from season to season, it feels like. Especially because when Gabrielle asks about the mob, Annie immediately tries to bluff and be like, oh, yeah, I worked a lot for the mob. Like, they'll miss me if I'm gone. And Gabrielle's like, I know you're bluffing.
Well, and also, I guess to Annie's defense, I don't know what I would do if my best friend was like running around globetrotting, like CIAing the world, and my boyfriend's like a hacker, a hacker. Like, I guess this is what we do. You know what I mean? Like, I guess yeah. This is how it goes. I don't know. I have not lived that life. So who knows?
And so this is when Esteban runs out. Just as Max is about to be tased, Esteban runs out. He has an envelope and he says, Cassie's in Iceland. And so we find out that Cassie and company were followed to the spa by the North Korean people. And Miranda answers the phone. It's Cecilia. And she finds out, she's, oh, the bounty on Megan's head pays way more than you do. And I love Miranda taking, like, in the heat of all of this, Miranda's just like, is this you asking for a raise? And we find out Cecilia betrayed them, which is why the North Koreans know where they are, and they're following them. And I'm just like, I don't know, Sarah, it feels like Miranda is, like, the most forgiving person ever when she gets shot in the leg, and later on she's, like, perfectly fine with Cecilia.
Maybe it's just a, you know, regular Tuesday for the life of an assassin. You know, maybe once again, we don't really know, but perhaps it's just the fact that, hey, you betrayed me. That's totally cool because tomorrow I'll probably betray you and then we'll mm-hmm. move forward with it. Maybe it's just like a big game of Big Brother. You got to like forgive.
Yeah, that's
to
fair.
Get ahead. I don't know.
So they run into the hot sauna, and so they're in the spa itself, and they go into a hot sauna and they're like, oh my God, no, wait, there's no exit. And so then the North Koreans come in with a gun, and Miranda's like hiding around the corner and takes this massive spoon, this massive wooden spoon, and just whacks this lady on the hands with it. And Miranda, let me tell you, Marissa, I was very impressed with how well Miranda can fight with a bullet in her leg.
Mm. There were a lot of like suspension of belief things in this moment, but yes, that was one of them. Like, yeah, but you know, women do have higher pain tolerances than men. It's been documented.
There
people
go.
Who go get tattoos or give tattoos will also say that about the differences between men and women. But you know, yeah, it was painful, and she mentions like how painful it is numerous times. So you gotta imagine that stung a lot.
Yeah. Yep. And then. So they're like kind of back and forth fighting, and oh my God, oh, when the lady stuck her finger in Miranda's leg wound, I was like,
ew.
Oh, she did. It was so nasty.
No.
And then she starts like choking Miranda, and Cassie's solution is to take a towel, put it over this woman's face and just pull her back, but then like let go, kind of like, ah, ooh, ah. watching. I think this is actually more realistic, though.
Yes.
Like, if you're in an actual fight, you don't suddenly just know how to fight. You don't suddenly become a ninja, you know, or trained in martial arts, you know? So I guess this kind of makes sense for what Cassie's going to do.
She's no Sydney Bristow, you know? She's not A-listing it up. But she's also a civilian member of the CIA. She's not. True. She has not been through training, so.
Yeah. But Miranda ends up knocking the woman out, and she's like, we need to steal a boat. And then they get on a boat, and they just start going. And I'm just like, this episode has everything. What's happening?
Right, planes, trains, and automobiles.
Truly. And then so eventually Max is still trying to get out of his zip ties, and Gabrielle asks if they should let the North Koreans know they have a lead, and they say, well, we need to get eyes on Megan first, and they're looking up flights to Iceland. So I don't know, Sarah, were you surprised to find out that Gabrielle and Esteban were also involved in the Megan storyline?
I guess so. I guess I couldn't really sort out why they would be so interested in Cassie unless they were involved in the Alex Sokolov of it all and Victor and like Miranda's crap. I couldn't really figure out why they would care about Cassie. So it makes a lot more sense that there's a bounty on Miranda's head. And there's a lot of people out there trying to find Megan and get a hold of her and get this very underwhelming $500,000.
Negotiate, Sarah. If you're bounty hunting, I think that's.
I just don't feel like it's that much. Okay, maybe if you just have to find them and collect them and then bring them to whomever, maybe that would be worth it. But to kill somebody for $500,000, not worth it.
There's a lot of expenses going into this job, right? Like they have to get plane tickets. They've got those tools, whatever they are. You know,
And they didn't even steal Cassie's credit card like we thought they did. Right. So they're really just spending the money on their own dime
and their hair dye.
And how much of this is tax deductible? I don't know how much. So I don't think it's worth it.
You're right. For $500,000, it's probably, I mean, but I guess if that's what your job is, right? Like if your job is a bounty hunter, that's a pretty big bounty.
No, it's not. It's $500,000. This is 2022. When I go to the grocery store, I can't spend less money than $180 for two people. This is inflation. I think that this is very low, to a low, low bounty on Megan's head.
Okay.
I'll do it for $3 million.
Okay, but in fake land is what she means. That is what
not
she means.
An actual like not an actual real life.
Not in real life.
And so Annie asks, "Oh, they're not after Cassie." And Max, this is when Max finally gets out of his zip ties. Mm-hmm. And he's so smart, he takes a photo at least of Esteban with his phone while he has a free second. Very smart of Max to be thinking in this way, to be like, "Okay, I'm going to need this for later." And so Gabrielle walks over. And she's like, you guys have serious relationship stuff you need to work out. And so then they're like, we're leaving.
Gabrielle and Esteban have a great relationship. They look very happy and
very supportive of one another.
And they're very supportive of one another.
And their coworkers.
They spend a lot of time with each other. And they look like they still have the passion. And they had like some like spicy kisses. So I think that I think that Annie and Max could couple take goals. Relationship. Yeah, total couple goals. Couples that kill together stay together. That's what I always say.
Is that what you always say?
And I've never said that before, no.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit concerned, to be honest.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little squiggly.
You're not a criminal.
I'm not a criminal.
It's all hypothetical.
Just because you're talking about crime doesn't mean you are a criminal.
No, yeah.
And so they say, if you call the police, we'll kill you. And then they leave. And Max hugs Annie and he's like, I'm so sorry for taking off the ring. I'm just so sorry. Max goes over, he locks the door and he's like, I don't think they were the ones that blew up the car. And of course, just at that moment, I really love the timing of these reveals in the show. We see a blonde with a bloodied knife walking in Echo Lake Park. And so obviously that means that Gabrielle isn't fake Cassie. Like we suspect, we thought maybe it was a potential, but Gabrielle is not fake Cassie. So this just leads us to be like, well, who is then? You know, we're left wondering.
Grace.
And I thought this was fabulous.
I'm back on the Grace boat. Marissa, what do you think? Who do you think is in the blonde wig? If it's not Miranda and it's not Gabrielle, who is it? It has to be somebody that we know.
Does it, though? Or does it have to be connected to somebody that we know? Because I think it's like through Podcast Lady. Like, I don't, I just know that this lady had better hair than Gabrielle. So.
Better wig work. Yeah, she's the blonde hair wig ladies. Definitely.
I agree, though. I feel like they're just connected through Jenny.
Yeah, or I could see it. Like, Grace is being kind of weird. Not our Grace, like, not Grace PSR Grace, but like show Grace.
Just putting it out there. Yeah. We love our Grace. Yeah. She's not weird.
Yeah. FYI. But like she's very insistent on hanging out, but then also was lying about certain things. The sus meter is high. The sus meter is high. And with, I mean, with short hair, getting along with would be really, not that it's hard with longer hair, but it'd be easy to get in and out of a wig.
It's true. That's true. And so meanwhile, the women get to a helicopter and I was like losing my mind because this is the coolest thing ever. And Cassie's phone rings again. And I just love Miranda's. I feel like Miranda speaks for the people. She is the voice of the people. She's just like, we are literally on a cliff right now. How do you even have service? Who is your provider? What's going on?
She's not fazed by like any of it. She's just, she needs to know. She needs to know.
No. So it's Shane. And he says he's never gotten a closed case, or he's never not closed a case. In a year or two of this Megan thing, he's on edge. And Megan, why is Megan doing this? Megan yells. She's like, ask Shane why he's asking about Hawk. And it's just like, Megan, stop talking. Stop actually talking, though. Like, you're going to get yourself caught.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's very obvious to Shane that he knows that Cassie's in communication with Megan. And I think that Shane actually thinks that she is helping her. I think that Shane knows that she's helping her. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was a manipulation tactic by Shane to get Megan to him. No. Yes, yes. I meant to get Cassie to come and with that they could, you know, get Megan. So that's
I originally thought he like was tracking her because he felt like he was keeping her on the phone, like just talking and talking to keep, I don't know, I've seen a lot of TV shows and it's like you need a certain amount of time to be able to connect the cell towers and like figure stuff out. But it was really weird because he says, he's like, listen, if you're really in trouble, you know you could call me, right? Like, always call me if you're in trouble. And then he like seems to like hang up though very quickly, Marissa. Like, I don't know. Obviously we see that he was at the bar, he found the body, all of that. Mm-hmm. But it still felt like something was weird with this phone call.
Yeah, 100%. I was also thinking the I have to keep you on the phone so that we can find you type of thing. And I, you know, the only personal interactions we saw between these two characters was in season one when he went to the funeral with her. Like,
right.
And even then, he wasn't like super emotionally, he couldn't handle, like, he was like, I'm gonna go over here. He couldn't be emotionally supportive. So the whole like, you know, you can call me, right, just doesn't sit well with me, because I'm like, how have you shown me that you're there for her? Like, Annie has shown, you know what I mean? Like, he's definitely not Annie level call me. And I don't even know if he's Megan level call me. So it's just like hard to kind of place him in the world of Cassie friendships. Like, would Cassie find him saying that normal?
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're gonna get more.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get more Shane. I just feel like he's really immersed in this particular storyline now, and I just found the call very strange. It had a very weird vibe to it. But yeah, so he's in the bar, they found the body. He knows Megan was traveling with Cassie, and he says he wants eyes on all airports. Meanwhile, poor Annie, she's digging through her purse and she can't find the ring. That's where she put it when they went into his parents' house. And she's like, oh my gosh, they took the ring. And we see Max get up, and he looks really upset about it. And then he looks out the window and he sees the next door house that Esteban and Gabrielle were in before. The door is open. And I was like, this is very bold of them. Like, I would have called the police before I'm doing anything. Like, I am not a vigilante. Like, I'm not Carmen Sandiego. Like, no thank you, ma'am. Like, let the cops handle it. You know, let them go in with their vests and their guns. Like, I don't have a gun. I'm not running in there. They decide. Okay, first of all, question. Marissa, did they actually steal the ring?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, why would they go through? I mean, I guess they would go through everybody's stuff, but they're not. Why would they need a ring if they're getting a lowballed $500,000, $500,000 bounty? Like, why? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if they're getting, if they're in this business, what is a ring to them? You know, yeah. At this point. But I also would not go across the street because of fingerprints. You know,
that's all. Fingerprints. Good point. And so they go inside, they hear the dog barking, and of course the dog barking leads them to a closet because this dog is a good pup, Sarah, and it's barking because its owners are locked in a closet.
Yeah, he's such a good, what is this dog's name again? Like Mr. Sprinkles or something. He's such a good pup. Really doing the most over here. And they find the elderly couple, and then Anne is like, oh my gosh, are you okay? But the people have tape on their mouths. So how can they answer if they're okay and their hands are tied up? So how can they motion that they're okay?
This is like when you're at the dentist and they have their hands in your mouth and they start asking you questions. It's like, now's not the time.
They're also old. That's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
They're also near death.
But it's like, there's just a lot. You got the tape. You got like,
there's a lot happening.
A lot.
No, obviously they're not okay. I feel like that's a dumb question.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's stop down. Let's untie these old people. Let them out of the closet. We're going to go to an ad break and we will be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, we are back. The helicopter lands and Cassie and Miranda get out to give Megan and Charlie like a little second here. Cecilia's here. She's like, oh no, they shot you. And it's like, Cecilia, girl, it's not your fault.
Yeah, I like the, is this where Cassie asks that, you look familiar. Do I know you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, do they know each other? But then I think it's actually just the fact, as we've learned in the ending special fun time at the end, that they are real life sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the moment that happens. It was very funny.
So I think it was just like a little wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah, but it seems like Miranda immediately forgives Cecilia because she gives her a matcha latte. Would you forgive someone who gives you a matcha latte?
If you get me my Starbucks order, then yeah. All's forgiven.
Great. Good to know.
Yep.
This is when Charlie gives Megan a heart locket. I don't know. Maybe I'm too sus of things, Marissa, but immediately I was like, is there a tracking device in here?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I mean, what motivation would Charlie have? It was Charlie. Maybe Charlie was using Megan and not Megan using Charlie.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I don't know. After Charlie like left and walked off, I kind of felt bad that I thought that about her. Like immediately I was like, oh no, I take it back. Like she's probably fine. She's probably a good person. But I don't know. Something about it to me was like.
Yeah, I hope she's not great, because I would love to see Margaret Cho like in an action scene. Like, I just want to see her like throw a knife or something. Like, I mean, she could be on the good side and not just necessarily and do these things too, but it would be kind of fun to see her like.
Is your assumption she's going to return? Is that what your money's yes. on? Okay.
Yes. That is my assumption. Who was it? Black Market Carol. I think, I mean, these are too big a names to have in this. And, you know, the actress that plays Black Market Carol, she's like in everything. Like, she was the voice of the grandma in Coco. Like, she's everywhere.
Wow.
She was?
She's,
I didn't know that. She's really getting around. Everywhere. Lots of work for her. Good.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She was also in, like, what was that show? Oh, Something About Divorce. Like, it was on Bravo. Mm. It was like, anyway, she's all over the place. So again, I mean, it's nice that she showed up to like sit in an airport lounge, you know, like, I think there's something more here. So and Margaret Cho doesn't come back out of not doing anything for something, you know, I think we get at least one or two more scenes with both of them.
So she gives Megan not only the locket, the heart locket, but she gives her bluefin bucks and some poison mushroom powder. Sarah, is this Chekhov's poison mushroom powder?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, because we never really see it go into full fruition. I think it's going to come back.
I think it'd be fun if it did. Yeah.
How many Blue Mountain bucks is there?
It looks like a fat stack of bluefin bucks. Yeah, bluefin bucks. That's hard to say. Them.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently that's the black market to get into.
It's just money. Yeah.
It's just money. It's money she made.
I wasn't sure if that's what the Icelandic people call it. Monopoly money.
Bluefin bucks.
Yeah, it's not a currency.
I was like, okay, maybe this is like where you use your bluefin bucks to go to the local hot dog shop. It kind of like when you're in college, you have like cougar dollars, you know?
I'm sorry, you have what?
Like Old Navy Super Cash.
Yeah, Old Navy Super Cash.
You can only use this money to buy bluefin and no one else will take it.
You get so much Kohl's cash. They basically want to give you all their products for free.
Yeah. They really do, yeah. So Cassie, we see her go back into the Mind Palace, and there was this leak earlier that is now exponentially worse. Mm-hmm. Teen Cassie is doing a really good job on this building. And Cassie's like, listen, I'm not the one doing some weird balancing act for something that's going to fall apart anyway. And I just love Teen Cassie being like, the metaphor is very obvious. And so Chaos Cassie says someone upstairs must have left their bathtub running. Someone maybe passed out and now water is splashing everywhere. So what is the deal here, Marissa? Like, something's going on.
Well, we know, I didn't pick this up until I watched it the second time, but we know at the end of the episode, there's people in the lake. Lake, water. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was wondering if it had something to do with Black Hole Cassie, that we've been calling her, the one that wears like the black turtleneck, the one who seems like she's very hungover and depressed. I was wondering if there was something there, like, or is this just like foreshadowing? Is someone going to drown in a bathtub or something, Sarah? Like, I don't know. Do you have any predictions for this?
Maybe, but it's feeling very dark and I don't want to bring down the party, but I just feel as though it can be the ghost of Cassie future.
Very Russian doll of you right now. I'm so into this. Yes,
I did. I'm really onto the ghost of people future this week.
we were recording a Dawson's Creek podcast when you said something like this.
Yeah, I'm just feeling as though like this can be, we can see like a future Cassie, like where we see, like we saw perfect future Cassie, but maybe we can see like future Cassie if she continues down the path of self-destruction.
I see.
You think it's like a metaphor for drown, like she's drowning herself in stuff and like that.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. Or one of the Cassies is upstairs, like drowning in like alcohol, right? Like we could see something like that too.
I'll put a wild card on the board.
Yeah,
I am very concerned about her brother.
Oh my! He's on a whale watch, Marissa.
Which by the water?
I got. That's where the whales are.
You should have saw the puffins instead.
he would have been much safer by the puppins are in water too, I suppose.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't know, but like he's been around, but not like you know where they drown him. Those things in the TV where it's like, oh, I'm talking to this person. You don't have time to talk to this person, and then they like,
then they die.
Something happens. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm not Jenny's saying that it's going to happen, but Jenny's I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Now I'm nervous. I'm sorry. They can't kill Davey.
But we can't because it's also you know from Grey's Anatomy. It can't happen twice.
You're so right. It can't happen twice. You're right. Yeah. Oh my gosh! I'm triggered all over again. So Charlie leaves. Cassie asks Cecilia if they've met because she looks familiar. And so then they end up getting on like a private plane that Miranda has. Like Miranda is loaded. This is great.
Super convenient, eh?
Like, very convenient, yeah. And so they give so Miranda gives Megan her new passport. She's now Hildegard Buffon. What a name. Gotta love it.
Well done, Miranda. I would totally do this to my friends if I was like some sort of person that had to do this.
But, yeah. And the audacity, Sarah, of Miranda telling Cassie yellow isn't her color. Come on.
I don't think yellow is anybody's color, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
We loved the mustard sweater.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're changing your mind on the mustard sweater?
I don't think that I can pull off yellow or mustard.
I'm not saying I would wear yellow.
I'm just saying, like, can blondes pull off mustard yellow? I don't know.
I think anybody can pull off any color they want.
Okay. All right.
There's that thing where you can put all the colors by your face and figure out like what color you are.
Oh yeah.
There's a thing? Yeah. Like an app?
It's there's a filter on TikTok where you can use and figure it out. But it's like, are you a winter or an autumn or like a summer?
Soft winter.
Or like all of these. Springs. Yeah. Because colors, Sarah, you would know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I am not I cannot yellow. I just know that about myself.
Yellow. I think a lot of people don't yellow. I think that's the thing.
I want to yellow really bad. But I feel
like people who are bold enough to yellow should be complimented on their boldness with which they yellow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's a confident move.
That's what I'm saying. So Cassie wants to talk about Megan's family, but Megan says she doesn't want to talk about it. I've missed them so much. A year has felt like much longer, like decades. She really wants to see them, but she's not sure if she wants to see them or if they want to see her. She doesn't know if she wants to drag them all back into all of this. And Cassie says, you're going to be okay. She gets a text from Marco and he keeps asking where she is. And Megan, with great advice, solid advice, says, tell him I'm okay. I'll see you soon. Marissa, just send a text like that.
Okay. Yeah. I can totally relate to this moment because I always want to be like, well, blah, 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 blah. When it's really like, hey, I'm okay. I'll be, you know what I mean? Like, she's not lying in this situation. She doesn't have to like divulge everything. And I think this is something I know, like, as a, like, heal from trauma, like, this is something where it's like, truth is truth. So I have to tell the whole truth, like, all of the truth, like, all of it. And it's like, no, you can still tell the truth without giving away certain parts of yourself or giving away part of your power. And so I think this is a, like, this is kind of a check in for Cassie in terms of boundaries, in terms of where she is in her recovery story with in AA, because she wants to just like blah all of the things, no boundaries.
Yes.
And Megan's like, actually, You can do something different. It's called I'm okay.
Like, yeah, I think I tend to be a word vomiter as well. I don't necessarily understand that, like, you don't have to give all the information, right? Like, you can just say, like, hard. I used to be so paranoid if I ever called out of work. I always felt like, even if I was sick, I always felt people wouldn't believe me. And so I'd have to be like, oh, my stomach hurts and I've been throwing up and blah, blah, blah. And like, no one cares. Just, girl, say you're sick. It's fine. Like, I'm a bit of like the word vomit as well. I get it. But Cassie just, I think the problem is Cassie just, she doesn't want to lie to him, right? Like, she doesn't, she feels like it's either all of the truth or she has to lie. She can't seem to find that in between. And she's having a really hard time with her sobriety. She says she really wants a drink so she can just forget all of this. And I really liked this for Megan because I was a bit upset with her earlier of that she didn't believe Cassie was sober. I felt like that was a bit, I don't know, just like rude, like unkind. But here Megan says that she's so impressed with Cassie, that she's sober, that she's been sober for a year. And then they have this cute moment where they say they missed each other. And it was, I don't know, Sarah, I found it really funny that all of a sudden Megan's just like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. Good night.
Yeah, she's like, I'm done talking to you. Thank you. Goodbye.
It was a great pillow and blanket setup. I would have slept too.
It's true. And what else are you doing? You're on a plane.
Yeah.
And so Cassie goes over to sit with Miranda and she's like, listen, I need to get Megan back to Long Island. And Miranda's just like, I'm not going to Long Island. She's not into it. But Cassie's like, don't you want to get back in the saddle? And Miranda's like, I would, but I forgot how good you are at getting into trouble. And I'm kind of tired of getting shot in the leg. So I think I'm out. And she's like, the same leg, by the way.
Yeah. I like how Miranda has boundaries. I think that's good for her.
It's smart. Yeah. And how did you like, Sarah, how did you like Miranda's gifts to Cassie?
Oh, gosh. She got that from like the Icelandic hotel lobby, didn't she?
Not the olive oil. She gets her mace, a personal safety alarm, and then a little bottle of olive oil that she has her own olive farm.
I think, okay, you know what? It's a good gift. It's a good gift. I like the box more than the gifts themselves. It was a really nice looking box.
You love a gift wrap. It was
a box inside of a box.
Yeah. It was a very large box for a very small box.
Yeah, I was excited about it. But yeah, I think that it's a nice gesture. And I like that Miranda is like, these are my boundaries. I do not, like, this is what I can do for you. And I can't do anything more. And I think that we all should learn to have the same sort of boundaries as Miranda.
Mm-hmm. I just also enjoy the fact that Cassie's like, I made a friend with this woman who has all these resources and I can call her when I need her, and then that's it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they bonded over trauma and chaos.
Yeah,
what better way to bond? So Cassie is going to stash Megan, and at first we think it is at her own house, but when Cassie comes out of the getting off the plane, they see the news report about the murder in Echo Park. Two bodies have been recovered from the bottom of a lake. Now, I don't know. The first thing that went through my mind was like, wouldn't Cassie think this is Max and Annie? Like, that would be the first thing I'd think, with two bodies, right, Marissa? Like,
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking she was going to say. I was like, oh, she's going to think it's Max and Annie.
I would have thought the first thing she'd do is call them.
Yes.
To make sure it wasn't them. But she didn't do that. And also they were wrapped in heavy chains and wrapped in tarps, just like the person that used Cassie's information to buy those things from the Home Depot or hardware store. And Cassie on the news footage, you can see the CIA agent with the blue eye at the scene, and Cassie starts freaking out about it. Again, she waits all the way till she like gets out of a cab to call Annie. I was like, why wouldn't you call her before? But okay.
Or like text.
Store text. Why do people not text more on the show? Honestly. Honestly. What century are we living in? Yeah.
Like, you okay? Okay,
yeah. Good. Yeah. Two words. That's all it is. Two words and a question mark. And so she calls Annie, and Annie's like, listen, don't freak out. But crazy stuff happened with the neighbors. So then they say, okay, we can't stay here. So she's going to pick a place and have Max text her. Annie keeps reminding Cassie, call Marco. You need to call Marco. He has no idea
I
what's
know.
Going on.
I know. You know what? I just think that Cassie really just doesn't want Marco in her world. And she needs to let go.
Yeah.
She needs to let go. We'll see what happens. Doesn't like Marco, doesn't want Marco, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want to let him what's going on.
She even, the thing is she's always been attracted to danger. It wasn't right. Like the drinking that made her that way. She's been that way forever. Right. And mm-hmm. So Marco isn't exciting enough for her, I don't think. I think he's too stable for her to be excited by.
I mean, like, from my perspective, I don't know, like, it's all intertwined. Like, she's been an alcoholic since she was a teenager. So, like, when it comes to attraction, I don't know if she's had an attraction without alcohol. Like, that's got to be a different level of attraction. She may really love this man. She may really, but love is different than It reminds me of another TV show that I've watched called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And she says,
yes,
like, it gives me the, like, I felt like glitter inside. Well, feeling like glitter inside isn't necessarily like a love that you,
yeah,
calm, you know, stable love that you're looking for. So she might be confusing the two things. And she doesn't know how to, like, what did she do with this? She's been sober for a year. Like, how do you have a relationship?
Right.
How do you
I felt
this?
Like she picked Marco because she wanted to be stable, right? Like she wanted to have this life that was more stable and less chaotic, mm-hmm, than she did have. But then she got bored by it. You know, like we've seen time and time again in her mind palace, her chaos Cassie always says, oh, Marco's so boring. Like, go home and have boring sex with Marco. Like, and that's a side of her saying that, you know, that's happening in her mind.
That's true.
So there is a part of her that is bored by Marco and thrives on excitement. And we'll get into it later. The fact that she's making mistakes now and she cannot say it's because she's drunk. Like that's no longer something that she can say in these moments. So she ends up picking Brenda's place to drop off Megan. And Megan, Brenda's so amazing. She's like, listen, I'm your sponsor. It's your job to put me out. And so I love Megan introducing herself as Hildegard. It killed me. And so Cassie says, listen, Hildegard has some family trouble. She needs a safe space to stay in. And Cassie immediately goes looking for hot tamales in Brenda's place. And Sarah, Brenda knows something.
She needs her advice. Yeah, I love how Brenda asks her if she's okay. Cassie answers no. And she goes, yeah, that's not acceptable. You're going to tell me what's wrong. And yeah,
she's seeming very manic right now.
She is seeming manic. And I like that Brenda can see that in her and questions her and doesn't, you know, say, take it at face value that she's okay. So yeah. I really liked this moment between them where Cassie was able to be honest for once.
Yeah, she says, Cassie says she's trying to be a hero and she's holding on so tightly that her hands are burning. And she says, I'd like a drink, but I haven't had one. So yay me. And Brenda says it's never not hard being sober. And she does tell Cassie, she's like, you look really tired. And I love anytime Brenda drops an anecdote that we feel like we could spend an entire episode on. And she says it in 3 seconds and it's over. She just goes, you look like my oldest child after she saves me from asphyxiating in the pool.
It's like, what are you saying, Brenda? What have you been through, girl?
Brenda's got like her own movie, her own like.
Yeah. Kind of like the dark side of, she reminds me of in the show. Oh my God. Why is my brain like this?
Friday. It's okay.
We've all been there.
It's a long day.
It's gone.
We can come back to it if you remember. But yeah, Brenda has these funny little anecdotes that she just drops randomly. And she's like, listen, I'll keep her for one night. You know, that's what she can stay for one night. Meanwhile, Megan was listening. What's the show?
Good Place. It's kind of like Tahani when she says something like totally off.
Oh, sure.
And you're like, wait, what did you just say? Or like references something. But kind of like the dark side of it where Tahani was just like, yeah, like, you know, it's just like the time I went to Beyonce's baby shower and
the name dropping.
Exactly. But it's kind of like Brenda's something like, so like
out like of trauma dropping realm. Instead.
Yeah.
Like,
she's like, wait, what?
Trauma dropping.
Instead of name dropping.
Yeah. So Megan was listening and she says, I need to get to Long Island now because she wants to get the evidence before someone murders her. Like she is being hunted. And Cassie's like, listen, you're staying for a night. And Megan says, this Brenda is kooky. And she's like, Brenda is not kooky. She's like, here's the mace. I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. Do not mace Brenda.
I don't appreciate that Megan is roasting Brenda. Brenda's doing something so nice for her today.
Lots of thoughts. Okay, so first of all, Brenda's hat, shout out to the hat, was so great in this whole entire episode situation. Very stylish. Second of all, do you think it might be a bit of Megan's like, hey, who are you taking care of Cassie? Like I'm her best friend. Like a little territorial, like she's kooky. I need to downplay her because I need you. I'm back. Like, what are you doing trusting this woman?
Yeah. I can see that as well.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And so Cassie is like, they're hanging out eating, and she's like, I can't believe you were held hostage. And they tell her, though, they were after Megan. And Max shows Cassie the photo he took, and she's like, I know that guy. He was in Berlin. And they're like, wait, what? She's like, yeah. She's like, well, Megan is in a safe space. Don't worry about it. And Max is like, wait a minute. You know where Megan is? And this is when they confirm, okay, well, the Echo Park murders happened right after the couple left Cassie's house. So it couldn't have been them. And everything looks very suspicious. And Annie said, and so Cassie wants to go to the CIA. And again, I think this is a little bit, I feel like Annie is acting a little bit differently than she did in season one, where Cassie again says, you know, maybe I should go talk to them. And Annie says, listen, the tonnage is adding up. You're going to look really suspicious to them. I don't know. Marissa, do you feel like this is different than the Annie of season one?
Mm. Do you feel like Annie from season one would be like, don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. I don't like, I think Annie from season one would think that she could like handle it, you know, herself. And we don't necessarily get that vibe in this conversation. It's just like, don't go to the CIA. She doesn't like give another option. Like, what else is there to do, really, though, Annie? Like, what are we to do?
You're hiding from the CIA. Why? Like, yeah. You work for the CIA. They should trust you.
Yeah. I mean, hello. Again, Alias tells you all the things you need to know.
So Cassie goes to see Benjamin, and he's still, well, she goes to the CIA. She's trying to go see Dot, but she's not there. So he's still in his office. It's like late at night, and he asks what she's doing here. And she's like, I can't talk to Dot. So I need to talk to somebody. And he says, now isn't the time. And he is very drunk. And he says he's been tough on her because he's trying to protect her. He lost two analysts today. And we find out, Sarah, that it was two CIA people that were murdered at Echo Park. And obviously Echo Park, we know because it was in the viewfinder.
Yeah. So now if that's in the viewfinder, then, and the license plate. So we got, okay. So we have the license plate, which was the car that exploded. We have the Echo Park picture, which is where two people were killed. So they're killing CIA assets, and this viewfinder are clues as to whomever are making these kills, where to go to next. So what Cassie needs to do is hand in that viewfinder pronto.
Exactly, because they need to find out who's like where the next killing is going to happen. And they need to be, she needs to tell people because she needs to put the CIA on alert that this is happening to people involved in the CIA. And on top of that, I feel like, Marissa, the sooner she says something, the better, because whoever fake Cassie is doing a really good job at framing her.
Oh, and yeah.
So, like, the sooner you say all of this, the less suspicious you're going to look for holding it back.
Yeah, Annie. I would say, first of all, shout out to viewfinders making a comeback. So great. Second of all, when you have, you know, someone like Cassie who chases the danger, wants to go up the next step, and she wants to get off of that escalator, to get off of that ramping up, let the woman go to the CIA and do that. Like, this is good all around. It's good for the reasons you just stated, Jess. It's good for, you know, if she turns in the viewfinder, like you were saying, Sarah, but it's also good for her own development to recognize, hey, look, this is too much. This is even too much
this
for me.
Beyond me. I need to take this out of help. My hands. Yeah.
And I think the worst possible thing you could probably do is, I don't know, maybe have sex with someone that's like your boss at the CIA.
I did not appreciate this. Okay. I was like, why? Why do we have to go here? Like, why? Like, why? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I have said,
this is fun.
I mean, fair. Okay, Sarah. That's
okay,
fair.
Like, Benjamin is gorgeous. We've been new, right? Like, yes, he's extremely attractive.
Right.
I think I said this earlier, Sarah, that I was like, I'll be upset if it turns out that Benjamin like has a crush on Cassie. Like, I just didn't want that for the show. Like, I just didn't think we needed it. Not gonna lie. Okay. Even though, so let me back up a little bit. So she holds his hand. She like sits down next to him. She holds his hand and he's like, the door is over there. And then of course we see Cassie back in the Mind Palace and Chaos Cassie is just like, oh, you can smell the booze on him. Imagine how good he'd taste. Blow it up. Say yes. And of course she kisses him and he like, you know, takes off her shirt and then he's like, what, a moth? And she's just like, yeah, it's just a stupid tattoo. And he's just like, yeah. And okay, I did love this
line. But you know what this is? This is a plot device because now Benjamin knows that she has a moth tattoo.
Yeah.
So then when it's reported that this crazy murderer is going around has a moth tattoo, then she's the person that everyone's going to think of.
Fair enough. But she also could have worn something that, you know, isn't a turtleneck to reveal that she had that moth tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's hidden.
The show is doing it.
The line, I will say, go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, so he says, you're not a moth either. You're the whole goddamn flame.
Ooh.
Sad. I mean, it was so steamy.
Saucy, steamy, soft. Wait, no, I already said saucy.
Saucy again.
I liked it.
Double sauce. I was like, yeah, that's good. But then I was like, oh. Why?
Yeah. I think like the smarter part of me. Okay, so there's two versions of me, right? Like there's the smart. Okay, imagine me.
Yeah,
in
your
mind
palace.
I'm in my mind palace, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
The one who's like Miss Perfect, right? Like her hair's like up in a bun. She's like wearing tweed and has like glasses on.
Okay.
That version of me is just like, it's like a little bit lazy writing. Like they could have done better. Like we don't need a romance in every single show ever. But then
it's not a romance though. It's
the lust, whatever.
That's
the
better than me, romance.
So like LBD version, the little black dress version of me with like her hair like curly and all over the place and like a very like vampy lip, like a red, bright red lip or something, is like, yeah, do it. That was a really sexy line. You know what I mean? Like, I just like was like, yeah, I love it.
I appreciated the moment. I did, like, for me, I just, why did he have to be like drinking and drunk? Like, have her sobriety. Like, I get that this is like a real thing that happens too. Yeah. So like, I don't know, but it was just like, oh, it was a double. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it was just, yeah.
And but so I good scene, like good on the sauce. Good.
It sauce. Was. It was very passionate. It was very steamy. Yeah. And then we go, and I did like, okay, for as much as I'm like not necessarily here for it in terms of like a plot device, I did love that then we go to the Mind Palace and Miss Perfect Cassie takes off her engagement ring, throws it on the ground, and then she goes over to the huge structure, the church that Teen Cassie built, and she knocks it and it just crumbles to the ground.
Yeah I like that too. I like effective. Making it clean. It was fun.
Sarah's like, I'm here for the drama.
I guess I am.
It's good drama. I mean, like, she's at a different point. Like, the possibilities of where her life are going, her life is going now, is much.
If you were like, if you had to pick one of the Mind Palace Cassies that you were, right? Obviously, they're all very like exaggerated forms of anything. Like, which one do you feel like would fit you best? So there's, to reiterate, there's Chaos Cassie, there's Black Hole Cassie, there's Teen Cassie, there's Miss Perfect Cassie. I think that's all of them, right? That we've seen so far. There's like, I think there's, we've only seen four so far. I'm sure there's more.
Or in the moment, Cassie, does in the moment Cassie count? Like
Cassie, real life Cassie?
Yeah.
Sure, you could pick her.
I probably am much more like Teen Cassie at the moment where like, it's like your past is trying to tell you this lesson, Marissa, like don't do this thing. Like, this is the thing. Like, what was the choice that you made in the past and how did that affect all, especially because I've been living in a world of television where like everyone's exploring this. It's really an interesting time to like, you know, be exploring this on television. So that's like the one that would probably be the most loudest in my brain, but I also have a Black Hole Cassie around as well.
We all do, of course. Like, yeah, we all have one.
A little Daria action.
I feel like if I had to pick one, it would probably be like the Miss Perfect Cassie, because that's, I feel like that's me, like that's my brain trying to tell me I have to be perfect. Like you and Sarah, you and I talked about this a little bit about like what our Miss Perfect versions look like. I think that's one of the things I struggle with most in terms of like mental health is like being very hard on myself. And so I think that is the one I relate to the most, is like the one in my head, like, you're messing everything up. Like, let me, I'm going to burn it all to the ground. Then fine. You know, if that's what you're going to do. Like, I think that's the one I relate to the most of, I mean, obviously they're all very exaggerated forms of anything, but
yeah.
What about you, Sarah? Which Cassie do you pick?
Either the one in the bathtub or
the one in the bathtub. I haven't seen the one in the bathtub.
I just am assuming I'm the one in the bathtub. Okay. I don't know. I'm a bit of a black hole, Cassie. I get in my head about everything. And sometimes it's hard to shut that person down. But, you know, that's the battles. It's the internal battles. That's what the Mind Palace is all about, is beating out the battles against yourself within your mind.
Honestly, we might as well label all the Mind Palace Cassies like anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
Like we just like put labels on them like that. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, and that they can all exist at the same time, right? Like it's you're not perfection. I'm not perfect Marissa and Black Hole Marissa at different times. I can be both of them at the same time.
We contain multitudes, all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Especially in palaces.
I mean, I love what they're doing. I think that they took the idea from season one of having Alex be in Cassie's head and returning to the hotel all the time and made it so much better. I feel like it's like to the nth degree. I just enjoy seeing these different versions of Cassie and seeing her interact with herself. I think is 10 times more fascinating than watching her interact with some dead guy she like slept with once, twice, whatever, however many times, like in one night. You know what I mean? Like, I think I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also appreciate the, like, in season one, we had real time, flashback time, and Mind Palace time. Like, we had three different things happening. I like the balance of being more in Mind Palace and present time and not necessarily getting a lot of like flashbacky remembering things.
I agree with that.
Go a lot smoother for me.
Yeah. I really like this episode. I feel like I keep saying this with every episode that I watch, but I'm really enjoying this season. I think it's resolving things like to my satisfaction. The pacing is good, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think that it's nice to see the storylines kind of finally come together a little bit. I didn't really want the like Megan stuff and the Cassie stuff to be so separate all season. It feels like it's kind of coming towards the middle. I'm happy that we're hopefully not going to get Max and Annie, you know, fighting all season. I'm hoping this kind of wraps, you know, ties that up. I mean, obviously he's either going to have to get a new ring or like something's going to have to go on there, but I predict they're going to be together at the end of the season. Like they're going to be engaged at the end of the season. I think maybe they'll just like sneak up and get married.
Ooh. And also I feel like they will open up their own like private investigator show.
I like, love that.
Something like that. Because I don't think Annie's going back to the law. I mean, she's just like, it's.
I don't think so.
It's boring for her. It's her boring.
I don't think her heart's in it anymore. Yeah. Thank you for coming on, Marissa. This was so much fun. We so enjoyed having you here.
Thank you for having me. It was such a great flight. Thank you so much.
Did you enjoy the snacks?
I did enjoy the snacks. To your satisfaction. Yes. Yes.
Tell us what you have going on. What are you up to? You have a lot of podcasting going on.
Lots of podcasting. So I'm covering This Is Us, the remainder of the sixth and final season with Jason Reed. We are covering that pretty much the day after the show airs. So pretty much every week until the end of May. And then I will be reunited with my podcast bestie Ariel, and I will be covering The Staircase on HBO. So we will be feed neighbors. We'll be in the HBO feed together.
Oh, look at that.
And that
will be fun. Just in the house across the way.
Yes.
Don't murder us though. Don't chase us either.
No. I mean, no. I don't have any instruments or tools. I just have a French horn.
I will look up on YouTube how to get out of zip ties just in case.
Please do. Yeah, so that's amazing. What's going on. Oh, and one more Russian Doll podcast coming this week. Just a wrap up of the entire second season. It was so much covering that with Ariel and Grace as well. So, yeah, lots of stuff.
So much going on. Sarah, what about you? What else do you have going on?
Jessica and I have our own podcast, Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And you can find that at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram, where we cover
Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek and 90s movie content. And then we have a lot of fun over there. So check us out, and you can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
Amazing. Of course, you can always find me on Pusher Recaps, all over the Patreon Discord. If you're not a patron, now is certainly the time. Mm-hmm. We are coming up on the beginning of the month, which is the best time to join because Patreon charges you immediately. So go to PusherRecaps.com/Patreon to become a patron. At the $5 level, you get early access to a bunch of podcasts. Of course, you also get access to YA, which they're still going through Harry Potter. So a great time to sign up for that. At the $10 level, you unlock the entire Discord, which when I tell you it is the best community to be a part of online, it truly is the best place to be. So join us all in the Discord. We're there all the time. Trust mm-hmm. me. We're there all the time. But you can also hear my voice coming up on the Wilds podcast with Grace and Ariel. I'm so excited for season 2 to come back. So that is coming up very soon. So go check us out there. We're going to be in the binge feed on Post Show Recaps. And you can find me on Twitter at TheJessSterling. Thank you all for listening so much. We're going to fly back into your feeds next week. Reminder that only one episode drops week from here on out. We have 4 episodes left, so we're halfway through the season. I can't believe it. It's flown by. Haha. But we will be landing this plane right now. So please, everybody, exit carefully as you get off the plane. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.